Colossians 2, chapter 6 to 9. Now that I'm a Christian, and so we're going to just look at that. I was asked that question last week about, now that you're a Christian, well, what are the things we should be doing? And hopefully to answer some of those questions as we look to the Word of God today in Colossians chapter 2, 6 to 9. It says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God and human body. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. And Lord, we just pray that today we'll be able to come and dine and eat and enjoy. And Father, that you'd fill us, Lord, with your words and your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I just want to look over again what it involves in being a Christian according to the Word of God. And I have to say that because today there's a lot of confusion out there of what is a Christian. And so when there's confusion, I always go back to the source, go back to the book, go back to the Bible. And the Bible must always remain our standard of all of our Christian practices, and we need to follow what the Bible says. And if you're new to this church, well, we believe in the Bible, and we follow what the Bible has to say to the best of our abilities, and that's the way we want to live, according to the Word of God. Now, as I said, we live in a world where there's a lot of confusion of what it really means to be a Christian. And just as we read here at this initial text, there's a lot of empty philosophies, nonsense being preached in Christian circles and outside of Christian circles. And that was happening way back when, obviously, they're writing the Word of God, and it still happens today. Sometimes people get off in these little tangents and say things, believe things that really aren't scriptural at all. But they go off in these little rampages and go off in these things, and sometimes it's just nothing more than a bunch of nonsense, but you need to know the difference. Now, I'm not going to go and look at what others believe this morning or what others have chosen to believe. What I want to focus on is what we have chosen to believe, that Jesus Christ is the truth, he's the life, and that he is way. And that's where we really encourage people, let's stay focused there. Let's stay focused on Jesus. You know, our journey with Christ started when we acknowledged that Jesus is real and we made a choice to believe in Jesus. And that's where salvation begins, when we make that choice to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But it doesn't end there. As you read the Bible, it also talks about, in the book of James, he talks about, the demons believe in Jesus. They acknowledge Jesus. They confess Jesus, but they're not going to heaven. And so when we start out in that whole journey of faith, yes, you start out with believing, but there's a whole lot more yet to come. So believing in Jesus, it carries a recognition that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He is the Savior that we have decided to serve. He was sent in this world to save us from the consequences of sin, which is death, eternal death in hell. And, that's another good reminder for us as well, that there is a hell. And there's a hell to avoid, and it is a very real place. We get preachers today saying that there is no hell and that you don't need to worry about that. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Matthew 7, 13 to 14, very sobering scripture I find. It says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. When I read that scripture, it kind of causes an alarm inside of me to realize that not everybody's going to heaven. Sometimes we get preaching that as well. Well, everybody gets to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says only those that would choose to follow Jesus Christ and his ways are the ones going to heaven. And so we need to be, verses like this should encourage us to be that much more inviting to the people of our world, to invite them to experience Jesus, because Jesus is the only way. We need to stay on the narrow highway. We should be encouraging one another and helping one another that we might stay on that highway, because there's many off-ramps, and lots of times people take off-ramps and they don't stay serving the Lord. They go off here, they go off there, and they pursue other things. So now that we've experienced Christ, we've come to that place, we put our faith in him, with that profession, there should have been a conviction of sin, that recognizing that there's been things in our lives that, you know, are not pleasing to God. And that should be an easy one. None of us are perfect, so we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we come to faith in Christ, there should be that aspect where we're sorry for our sins. And we're sorry enough that we want to change our lives and live differently and start a whole new way of living. And as we started down that path, well, you probably attended a church and probably even got water baptized, and you had that desire to follow Jesus. You probably went out and bought a Bible. Or today, a lot of people, they just download the Bible, and you can have it on your phone or your iPads or whatever equipment that you have today that you can do that. And as we have done that, we need to continue in all those things. We need to remember what we've done when we came to Christ, because the Bible says keep continuing in that. You don't stop. You don't think, well, I did it now. You know, I got my ticket to heaven now, so I'm good. You know, I'm not going to worry about anything. No, the Bible says continue now. Continue on that journey of living for God. And so, again, very, very important. You know, even in the Bible, as you read in the messages to Revelation, kind of the last messages that Jesus is giving us, and he's telling the church, don't lose your first love. And that's something we, again, as Christians, we got to be careful that we don't lose that first love that we had for Jesus Christ, because that love should be growing deeper and deeper and deeper, not less and less and less. You know, and sadly, sometimes as Christians, we walk away, usually very slowly. It's never just, you know, one decision one day and like, okay, I'm done with Christianity. Usually it's a slow, slow progress with the pull of life, the pull of the world, the pull of the pleasures and our desires for other things. They can very quickly start leading us down those off-ramps that don't take us to heaven, but that take us to hell. And, you know, sometimes that can happen. And where Christians allow their lives to cool down and they lose their passion, and maybe we should say, became bored with God, became bored with Christianity, bored with the whole thing of faith. And then they walk away. And as they walk away, well, you can't just walk away. You have to criticize everybody else that you saw serving the Lord and try to blame it all on them when, no, it was your choice. You chose to walk away. And those kinds of things can kind of bring us to that place where we kind of ask ourselves, well, how do I stay in the faith? Because even the Bible says it's not always easy as you stay in the faith. Sometimes it can be difficult. How do we stay interested? How do we stay passionate about our faith? How do we stay on that narrow highway to heaven when we experience some lumps and bumps and potholes along the way? So now that you've become a Christian, what's really involved in staying a Christian? And that's what I want to remind you of today, and hopefully just to encourage you to stay on that journey, to keep pressing in for the more of the Lord, because God always has more. God always has a table that's prepared for you at all times where he invites you, come and dine, come and dine. So first of all, now that you're a Christian, we are encouraged to continue in that journey. And we see that in that very opening passage that we read. It says in Colossians 2:6-7, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, You must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. It's really important that once you come to Christ, that you continue in the journey. You continue to focus on Christ. You continue to focus on serving him. It is not a one-time commitment. It's an ongoing commitment. You just don't say a little prayer and, you know, figure, you know, well, I got it. I got my get out of hell free card, and, you know, you don't do anything else. No, the Bible says continue in that relationship. Continue in that pursuit of Jesus. And as we do that, that's where the excitement comes. That's where we, you know, we remain strong in the faith, and we're able to push back when the temptations come and when trials come. We're able to get through them because our faith is strong. So as you found Jesus, continue to keep your focus on Jesus. He is the author of salvation. He is the original, and we need to keep focusing on him and let those roots go down really, really deep. You know, I've been preaching that lots over these last few years. Keep the focus on Jesus. And that's something I keep telling myself as well, because it's very easy in this past to see all these things that are happening and going on in the world and things that are going on in Christendom. And it's kind of a reminder to myself as well, keep the focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So the first thing we should do after coming to the faith in Christ, continue in the journey. Continue in the journey. Keep your focus on Jesus. Run that race of endurance. It's not a short race. It's a race of endurance. It's not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. And sometimes that's what we see in our Christianity. Sometimes, you know, we just run all out and then we're done. But no, the Bible says, no, it's an endurance race. You got to keep on going. You got to plan to keep on going. You got to keep working at that relationship with Christ. You got to keep training that you might be in shape, that you are able to run and finish the race. So don't stop. Don't allow people, don't allow hurts, offenses, or things that come in Christendom. Stuff happens. Sometimes it's not always good. But you can need to continue the pursuit. Don't allow anything to take you away from that prize that you're going towards. So continue, endure, keep serving Jesus. Then secondly, as now that we are Christians, we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God. God needs to be a priority in your life. It needs to be a pursuit in your life. Jesus needs to be your number one. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You know, so often we believe the lie that if I become a Christian, or that once I am a Christian, that there goes all the fun in life. I won't have any more fun in life. And there's been a number of people that have walked away from God because they thought they couldn't have fun after they have Jesus. And that's not what it says here. It says that as you seek the kingdom first, he'll give you everything that you need. See, when you seek God first, the blessings do start to come. You don't miss out on anything. And sometimes, you know, we think that, you know what, I'm going to miss out. I'll never, ever have this. I'm not going to have that or this. No, you're going to have so much more when you put him first in your life. But that's the key. He needs to be first for those things to be added unto you. So you don't miss out with serving Jesus. You gain. You gain. And as you keep seeking him and building up his kingdom and looking towards his kingdom, making the kingdom of God your primary concern is another translation. You need to keep working at it. See, God deserves our best. After all, he gave his life for us. Surely we can show that appreciation by seeking the things of God first. Doesn't mean that you can't do all those other things. It's just saying there's somebody that needs to be first in your life, and that needs to be Him. And as we do that, we will become a productive Christian, we will become a strong Christian, and we will be able to enjoy the many things that life offers us as well. It just comes back to that part, priorities. And again, as Christians, that's something we all need to work on from time to time, is our priorities. Because sometimes, as life goes on, we get a little bit distracted. We start to go down maybe some side roads, and God needs to remind us, like, hey, get back to the priority. What's important here, and what's important is Jesus Christ, serving Him and being that example that He wants to be in building the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, in how now we are Christians, we need to stick to the basics of our faith, because they are non-negotiable. You need them. The early church of Acts kind of gave us a really excellent summary of what are the basics of our faith that we really need to hold on to, that there's no compromise, that these things are very important. Acts chapter 2, 42, and then jump down to 46. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know, without going into great detail in that passage of Scripture, it certainly describes in there some of the basics of our faith that we all need to keep practicing. These are necessities for us as believers. One of the first things it talks about is devoting yourself to the apostles' teaching, of devoting yourself to what? The Word of God. Our Bibles are so important. And, you know, probably the majority of us probably have multiple Bibles. And we probably have them on your phone or any other the equipment that you might have. There's, you know, Bibles galore today. So easy to have a Bible with you at all times. And so we need to get into that Word. You need to be praying the Word. A lot of confusion comes because people are not into the Word of God. They're not reading it. They're not studying it. And you need to be doing that. You need to get into that Word of God. So very, very important. And every Christian needs that. Another basic is that every Christian needs fellowship with other believers. And we need that as individuals. We need that socially. We need that in corporate worship. Coming together, attending a place of worship. Now, as you look at back in the days of Acts, as the Lord added to the church daily, man, they met at the temple daily. And then as the church, they would meet again on the day we now call Sunday. Became a common practice. But they also went to other gatherings as well, where Christians would get together throughout the week, and this was a priority for them. Now, if you read the statistics today tell us that the average churchgoer attends church once a month. And I think, like, that's a far cry from what we see in the book of Acts, where they're really willing to go every day. And I think that says something to us as well. I think it says to us that we're way too busy. And busy, I think, doing sometimes the wrong things. But we need to be making an effort to be together with God's people. And if you're busy on a Sunday, then come through something during the week where you can be together with other Christian believers so you can be strengthened, you can be encouraged in the faith, because we all need fellowship. Very, very important. Another basic mention is prayer. Every Christian needs to pray. We need to make time for prayer. We don't want to go slack in this area because it's so very, very important that it helps our faith to grow. It helps us to be strong, helps us to be interacting with God, helps us to hear from God, gives us strength, opens doors, leads to answered prayers, interventions in our life, direction in our life. All that's so much need it. And when we look around us and in our world today, there's a lot of areas where we need to be praying. We need to be praying for our communities. Man, there's a lot of things that are happening in all of our communities in this whole Lakeland region that are not good. And being on some of the reserves of late and doing some of the funerals and hearing the elders noting that, man, we have a problem. We're losing the next generation, and we're seeing so many of them are dying, and there's violence, there's drugs, there's all these things that are happening. Well, that's happening everywhere, friends. And then we can just keep watching it, or we can start doing something about it, and we can start to pray, gathering together and start praying for our city, start praying for our community, start praying for our reserves, start praying for wherever we might live, that God might intervene. That's an important part of the Christian faith, that we pray, not just about ourselves, that's important too, that we may be strengthened, but we need to be praying for one another. I know on Wednesday nights when we have our prayer times, it just becomes natural that people start praying for another person. It's not me saying, hey, I think we need to stop right now and pray for this person. I'm just watching people just get up from their seat and they go over and they just start praying for somebody. That's what we're supposed to do. That's important. Another basic here that's mentioned is our generosity and giving. Do you realize that Christian people are givers? And our government recognizes that. That's why often the government will come alongside when there's a need in another country and they want to, you know, help that country. They'll often come together with Christian people and they will say, we will double whatever you can raise, and we want to help these individuals, because they recognize that a lot of the Christians have resources that they can get the money where it really gets to go. Because we've seen that time and time again, that money gets sent somewhere and it gets misused. It gets used to do other things than what it was meant for. And so even the government recognized that Christian organizations are the best organizations to funnel money through when it comes to aid to other countries, because they have the people already there doing that job. Well, Christian people give. And, you know, they tithe, they give offerings, they give alms, they bless one another. And you'll notice they do it with joy. It should be a joyous thing to give. And then the last basic that is mentioned in this little short passage of Scripture is praise. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lots of times we just rather moan and keep moaning. And God says, no, start praising. Start praising. And that spirit of mourning, that spirit of grief, that spirit of sorrow, that spirit of pain will rise as you start to praise Him, to worship Him. So again, those are just some common basic things that are expected by every Christian. But the Bible says you need to continue. You need to continue. It's not something you just do once in a while. It's something that you need to be continuing to do throughout your life and throughout your week. So those are just some basics. A fourth reality in Christianity, once you become a Christian, maybe this one's not as common as some of the other ones to talk about, but it's coming to the place of surrender. Surrender involves a giving up of our own desires to do what God wants instead of what we want or I want. So it involves a learning of denying self for the better of good, yielding our rights to what God wants. Now, I know that's not really talked about much today, and actually a lot of Christian circles now these days, like, just ignore that. You know, that's not important. Well, it is important. We need to come to that place where we're willing to give up some things so that we can better serve God. That doesn't mean that all these other things are bad. There could be lots of good things that you're doing. But to really serve the Lord with your utmost, sometimes we need to lay aside things we enjoy that we might have more time to do the things that God enjoys and that pleases Him. Luke chapter 9, 23-25, Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower or my disciple, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit? If you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? Again, it's a very powerful scripture to read. Very powerful scripture that makes you really think about, man, what am I doing in my life? How's it going to affect me for eternity? How's it going to affect my kids for eternity? So when you become a Christian, there will be sacrifices. There will be costs that you will make to follow Jesus. And those costs are things that you willingly give up. And that honors God. That's like a sacrifice to God when you willingly give up something. And we're not talking about, you know, evil, bad things. The Bible always very clear that we need to stop, put to death those things. But sometimes just other things in life, just that we can serve God better. And so you need to be careful in that area. Because you know what? There's a lot of good things out there to life enjoy. And I enjoy life just as much as you do. But you know what? There's times where you really just got to say, okay, I'm just getting way too busy. Something has to give. And when you come to that place, don't do like most people do. It's God gets the short end of the stick. No, God doesn't get the short end of the stick. All these other things get the short end of the stick because God needs to be first. And so the Bible is filled with advice to, you know, keep us in their faith and to be willing to surrender, to deny ourselves and take up that cross that we may have to bear. And friends, it's to our benefit to do so. Because, you know, as the scripture tells us here, so what if you gain the whole world? All those pursuits we can chase, give time to, and then we lose our own soul. That really hit me as I was doing one of the funerals, and actually it was in Saddle Lake, and one of the elders was talking about losing that next generation. And I was thinking to myself, friend, that's not just a problem in Saddle Lake, that's a problem all over the place. That we may be losing that next generation because we're so busy doing all these other things that our kids are not in the place where they need to be and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can chase all those pursuits, you can gain all the fame of the world, but what value is it if you lose your soul and you go to hell? There's no value to it at all. What's important in life is that you serve the Lord and you go to heaven. So be careful in those areas. There are some choices that we got to make for the sake of your soul and for the sake of your children's soul and for the sake of your grandchildren's soul. And again, I know there's lots of things out there to enjoy in life. I do lots of things in life and enjoy lots of things of life as well. But sometimes you really got to come back and look at yourself and say, what's important here? What's important here? You know, what's important is that I stay in a close relationship with Christ. What's important there is that my kids and my grandkids, when they come, are going to serve the Lord because I'm setting an example for them to pretend to put Him first. How valuable is your soul? How valuable is your kid's soul? Surrender, denying ourselves. That's part of being a Christian. It's not a popular thing, but it is a biblical thing. Number five that we should take note of now that we're a Christian is to pursue having a relationship with Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people in their Christianity, they only get as far as believing. And they don't get past that to the place where God really wants to say, I want to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you just to get that, you know, I believe in Jesus now, I accept Jesus, Lord, I said the sinner's prayer, I'm good, I'm wonderful. That's just getting a ticket to heaven. The Lord wants to have a relationship with you. And that's, if you really want to grow strong in the faith and keep the faith, you get into a relationship with Jesus. And that's the ultimate plan, is to have a relationship with Jesus, a friendship with Jesus. You know, and I know sometimes we don't think of our Christianity that way, but we really should, because Christianity is not a religion. It is not a church. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is something that we should pursue and invest in. I love the invitation that's found in Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we're going to share a meal together as friends. So the context here, Jesus is not speaking to the world. I think, you know, this scripture works well when you talk to the world because he does knock at the doors of their hearts. But he's saying this to the church. He's saying this to us as Christians. I am knocking at your door. I am wanting a relationship with you. I want to get together with you and have a meal together and have time of fellowship together. That is Jesus' desire for you. He wants a relationship with you. And he's inviting us. As I said earlier, I had that vision there, rather surprising, while I was in there with the men and just seeing that. I was going to come back if I had time. I probably would have. I was going to buy a whole bunch of groceries and put them all out there to, so we'd have a visual to say, this is what the Lord has prepared for you. He has prepared for you a banquet. He has prepared for you this beautiful meal for you to have. Even when you come to church, there's a table that he prepares for you. When you come to church, don't let it be about the minister that, you know, I only go to the church where I like this guy or this guy's preaching or this song leader or whatever. Because Jesus expects you to come to church because you're to meet with him, not to meet with me. He wants you to meet with him. And he has a table prepared for you where he wants to bless you and encourage you and talk to you. And he wants relationship. So if you really want to live that Christian life, go beyond belief into a relationship with Jesus. To literally just sit down with him, get to know him, become friends with him, talk with Jesus. Again, back into prayer. You have that relationship. Read the Word of God. Helps you understand him as well. And you know, again, so many Christians stop with a profession of faith and don't take that extra step to have fellowship with Christ. And if you really want that Christianity to stick, pursue friendships. Pursue a relationship. Get to know Jesus better. Because he's always preparing a table. Even in heaven, what does he tell us the first thing we're going to all have when we all get to heaven? I'm preparing a banquet for you. Isn't that interesting? You go back into the book of Psalms, and what is he saying to there? I've prepared a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. And so when you're going through a terrible trial that the enemy is coming against you at every direction, Jesus is saying, come and dine with me. Come and dine with me because I got a table prepared for you even in the midst of all the things that are happening all around you. Even as we're here this morning, there's a table prepared for us. He wants relationship with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to minister to us. He wants to hear your heart cries and just sit down with you and have that coffee, have a meal together and spend some time with him and enjoy that fellowship. So relationship, that's important. And then lastly for this morning, now that I'm a Christian, I need to pursue a changed life. See, we really are to be different. Our lifestyle is to show it. Christians are to live differently according to the Bible. And again, lots of people out there that talk about, oh, you don't need to worry about that. Just live any way you want. Doesn't matter. Well, it's not what the Bible says. Ephesians 4, 21, 24, just a short portion of that one. It says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, what are you here to do? Throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Oh, there's that terrible word, holy. Holiness. Oh, my goodness. Well, guess what? The Bible says we're to be holy. We're to strive towards that. We're to work towards that. And as we come to faith in Christ, we all should be striving to live a different life than what we lived before. The old life is supposed to be put to death. It's supposed to be buried. It's not supposed to be resurrected. And we're seeing that a lot today, where a lot of Christians are resurrecting their old way of living. And they're going back to their old way of living. That's not what the Bible says. It says, put it to death. You don't pick it up again. It's gone. It's gone. Colossians 3, 5 and 6 says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And because of these things, the anger of God is coming. So again, that's kind of pretty clear information. Do you want, what makes God angry? Well, when we continue to do those things that he tells us not to do. So we need to deal with any area in your lives that is considered sinful by God, not by other people, because we got lots of opinions out there. And, you know, sometimes we look at behaviors of some Christians, and they just keep excusing their sin and thinking it's okay. Friend, sin is not okay. It was because of sin that God had to send his only son, Jesus Christ, into our world. So sin is not okay. And we're to take our sins seriously and our struggles with sin seriously, that we might change and live a new life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. Doesn't mean that we're, maybe slip up once in a while. But it's going to be a new pursuit where we're striving to serve the Lord the best that we absolutely can. And then we'll begin to be known for the good things we do, rather than for the bad things we used to do. So that's what needs to be a pursuit for us. Now, as we close here this morning, I know this is a lot of just simple, basic truths of Christianity and serving the Lord. But if you want your Christianity to grow, if you want to be strong and not fall, then these things are important. Being a Christian does not make us perfect, but it does make us a work in progress that should be getting better and better. And so we need to get determined to continue and stay in the Christian faith, to seek first the kingdom, to have it as a priority in our life, and stick to those basics of faith, like get into the Word of God, get into prayer, get into a church, because those things are not up for negotiation. Recognize that your faith needs to be more than just head knowledge. And it should grow to a place where you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're even a friendship with Jesus. And to do that, it'll involve some sacrifices. There may be some things that you may need to surrender. Now, that doesn't mean if God speaks to you about something to give up, doesn't mean everyone else has to. God speaks to all of us in different areas, because we all have our likes and dislikes. And so God may speak to me in one area and maybe you in another area and say, I want you to give this up. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not about that. It's about the Lord saying, I want you to give this up for me. Are you willing to give it up for him? And then lastly, a changed life is important. Your testimony is important. All those things are really important. Kind of really just normal Christianity. And it does require work. And we all are works in progress. We learn. The older we get, the more we learn. It's a journey. It's a race of endurance, not a sprint. God always has more. So you need to press into that Christian walk. And you will find it will get better and better with each day. You're now a Christian. May you continue to grow each day. But it does take work. And your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because again, we're doing it for who? Don't do it for the pastor. Don't do it for the church. Do it for Jesus. Because that's where the reward is. There's a future, there's a friendship, there's eternal home that is awaiting you as you press in and be that Christian.